recruitment to be in the house of Jesus today. And God loves each and every one of you. You're welcome to the house of God. I believe that you are in the right place. Amen.
Amen.
Indeed, it's good to see many of you for some time. And we encourage you to keep coming. And to know that the Lord is going to minister to you and to bless you in every way. Let us pray as we start to share the word. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We worship your holy name. We adore you for this day. Thank you for your loving kindness, your power, your mercy, your favor. You've directed our steps. You've watched over each and every one of us. You've been our shield. You've been our portion. You've been our all in all, Jesus. May your name be exalted. May your name be glorified. May your name be lifted up on high. Thank you for your love of our families, of our children, of everything that concerns us, O God. May your name be glorified, be exalted, and be lifted up on high. We bless your name and we exalt you, Jesus. Thank you and be lifted up on high. In Jesus' name we pray unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Today we want to speak about the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when we speak about the work of the Holy Spirit, we are reflecting on who the Holy Spirit is. And many times there is a lot of misconceptions that we have as believers on who the Holy Spirit is, what is his work, and what do we expect of him. You know, there are people who believe that the Holy Spirit is just a power. It's just a force that exists. And they can use him as they will. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Amen? And when we look at the scripture, even from the onset, we see that the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. In fact, the Bible shows us and points to us that he is a third person of the Trinity. Our God exists in three persons. He's God the Father, he's God the Son, and he's also God, the Holy Spirit. The three are equal. The Father is not greater than the Son. The Son is not greater than the Holy Spirit. All are equal. And they all serve the same purpose. In fact, if we see, if we read in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. When we see this, we see that the Father is the one that spoke. God said, that is the Father who spoke. When he spoke, it was the Word. The Word is Jesus. And before he spoke, the Holy Spirit was moving over the surface of the deep, moving over the surface of the water. And that is to tell you that the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus were there in creation. Then the second thing that we see, even in the day of the baptism of Jesus, how do we see that the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that Jesus was praying. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And when he prayed, the Bible says, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, in the form of a dove, and a voice spoke from heaven, which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus was in the water, coming out of the water. The Father was speaking, this is my beloved Son. And the Holy Spirit was coming down in the form of a dove, in bodily form. And this is what John the Baptist saw. So we can see God the Father in heaven speaking. We see Jesus in the water, coming out of the water, and we see the Holy Spirit descending. That is to tell you that God is three in one, three persons in one. And look at what Jesus was telling his disciples, John chapter 14, he told them, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I, Jesus, will pray the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another helper, who that he may abide with you forever. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. So we see Jesus pray to the Father to send the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is different from the Father because He is sending the Holy Spirit. So He is the third person of the Holy Spirit, of the Trinity, and is very important. So we've seen that the Holy Spirit is in creation. In fact, when we read Genesis 1 verse 26, the Bible says, let us, then God said, let us make man in our image. He did not say, let me make man in my own image. He said, let us make man in our image. That means he's speaking of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible tells us that the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul. So the Lord God, when the Bible says the Lord God, it refers to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who did the creation. And then he formed man from the dust, but it is the Father that breathed the Holy Spirit into man. So when the man was breathing the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, Elohim, then he became a living being. So in the Old Testament, what we see about the Holy Spirit is that he was not in every person. The Holy Spirit was only available for kings. We can see when Samuel anointed David, the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit came on David. David became king. And when the Holy Spirit came on David, it left Saul. So the Holy Spirit was not on every person. The second kind of person that the Holy Spirit came upon was on the prophets. Remember Elijah. Elijah, after he prayed that rain is coming, the Bible says the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and he ran. So the Holy Spirit came upon Elijah and he ran and overtook chariots. The Holy Spirit also came upon judges. An example is Samson. Judges were rulers that came to help the people of Israel. Now, in Genesis chapter 14, verse 6, the Bible tells us, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and this is Samson, and he tore the lion apart, as if one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. So, Samson, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he tore apart a lion, just like he would tear apart a young goat. The Holy Spirit was also on leaders, and we can see the example of Joseph. Joseph, the Spirit of God was on him, and when he interpreted the dreams, Pharaoh said, can we find a man like this in whom the Spirit of God is in? That means Pharaoh recognized that the Spirit of God is on Joseph. So Joseph, and he appointed him to be a leader. He said, I have set you over the land of Egypt. Look at also Daniel. When there was a writing appearing on the wall, the writing appeared on the wall, and they were worried. The king was wondering, who will interpret it for me? Then the mother of the king told him, don't worry. There is a man in your kingdom in whom the Spirit of the Holy God is on him. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give you the interpretation. So we can see that the Holy Spirit was also on leaders. But also, the Holy Spirit was also given for people to do special works of art. For example, when they were building the Ark of the Tabernacle, the Holy Spirit, the Lord said in Exodus 31, that he has given Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and verse 3 says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, in artistic design. That means that the Holy Spirit can inspire you to even create something. It can give you ideas. At times we limit the Holy Spirit to only spiritual things, but the Holy Spirit knows everything on the earth. He knows where the next the business will work. He knows where the next oil mine will be found. He knows where the gold is found. On all the earth, he knows it. And if you are led by the Spirit of God, he is able to direct you. There is a skill that you can know that this one was only given by the Holy Spirit. Also, we see that the Holy Spirit is the author of the scriptures. He is the one who spoke the scriptures to the writers. We always say that the Bible has many writers, but one author. And that is why the Bible does not contradict itself. There are many writers. Isaiah was a writer. Jeremiah was a writer. Daniel was a writer. You know, Moses was a writer. All the various prophets who wrote were writers. But they all say that they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. That means that the Holy Spirit inspired them. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed, that as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Verse 20, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The holy men, they spoke as they were carried by the Holy Spirit. So anyone that does the work of God, anyone that speaks for God, must be moved by the Holy Spirit. It cannot be just because of what you read. If it is just your reading, it will be book knowledge. But if it is moved by the Holy Spirit, then it is able to inspire people, it's able to meet the needs of people. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it is God that inspired the scriptures. All scriptures are inspired by God. Acts chapter 1 verse 6, the Bible says, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas. Look at what the Holy Spirit spoke. So it's fulfilling scripture. And Paul says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but in which the Holy Spirit teaches us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit was also very important in the life of Jesus, in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus did not start his ministry until he was filled with the Holy Spirit, until the Holy Spirit came upon him. Yes, he grew in wisdom. Yes, he grew in stature. Yes, he grew in the favor with God and man. But he waited until the Holy Spirit came upon him. And we see, immediately the Holy Spirit come upon him, we see that he lives a life that is led by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4 verse 1 tells us, Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he was tempted 40 days by the devil. So the Holy Spirit led Jesus. And then after he passed the test, the Bible tells us, Luke chapter 4 verse 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. So that means that from the onset, Jesus did not start with power, but he started with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Then he was led by the Holy Spirit. He overcame the temptation, and then he returned in the power of the Spirit. So that means there are levels. As you grow in your walk with the Holy Spirit, you are able to grow into the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at what Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the Holy Spirit, God anointed Jesus. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit was very important in the life of Jesus. And we can see also when he comes to Nazareth, he says in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight of the blind, to set the liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit was very important in the life of Jesus. And if he was equally as important in the life of Jesus, he must be equally important in our lives today. And that is why today we need to look at what is the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer. To you, what is the necessity of you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and what is his role in our lives? Remember, he's a pastor. What is he going to do? Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Number one, we need the Holy Spirit as a helper to abide with you forever. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Bible says he is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He said that, you know, Jesus was with his disciples, and he knows he's going to the cross. He's going to die. And he says, I know you're going to cry. I know you're going to feel alone. But I want to tell you that I am not going to leave you alone. I am going to ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. In fact, the word there, the Greek word is halos, which means another of the same kind. That means he's saying that I am going to ask the Father to send you someone like me, who is going to walk with you. And if you look at how Amplified puts it, in helper, it says also comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. That means that the Holy Spirit is your helper. If you need help today, you can ask the Holy Spirit. When you don't know, when you're stuck in the office and you don't know what to do, you don't know what to start with, when your child is unwell and you don't know what to say, just say, Holy Spirit, I know you are with me. Help me. Help me. Every time you cry out for help, he is ready to help you. And the Bible says that he will abide with you forever. The moment you give your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit abides with you forever. That is why even when you are falling into sin, he is the one who tells you, hey, repent. You have missed the way. You have not prayed. You have not read the Bible. Read the Bible today. That is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, oh, something told me. Don't call the Holy Spirit a thing. You know, because you are fearing, you don't say God told you. Say, the Holy Spirit, God spoke to me. Because he is the Holy Spirit. He is inside you. He's not far away from you. He speaks to you. Number two about the Holy Spirit is that he will teach you all things. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit, I will ask the Father, whom the Father will send in my name to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he will help you to remember everything I have told you. He will remind you of the things I have told you. How do you just think of a scripture? It's the Holy Spirit that reminds you. It's not our brains that are very clever. No. The Holy Spirit knows which scripture is important now. There's a moment you need the voice of God. There's a point where God will breathe alive a scripture to remind you. He's teaching you all things. In fact, if you look at what John chapter 16 verse 12 says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus will say, I want to tell you many things. I want to show you who you are in God and who God does and what his work will be in you. But you cannot bear it. How will they understand when Jesus will tell them that I and the Father are one? When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. They will struggle. They were saying, go show us the Father. He says, don't worry. I have tried for now. But the Holy Spirit will come. He will guide you into all truth. Because God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. 1 John chapter 2 verse 27 says, But the anointing which you have received from him, that is the Holy Spirit, abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true. You see, the reason why John was telling them, he was not trying to tell them that they don't need to be taught in church. He was not telling them that there is no need for pastors. In fact, the Bible says he has given you apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the body. But it is because they were facing many false teachers. False teachers were coming to teach them wrong things. That's why he was telling them, in that moment when that false teacher will be telling you, you will know he is wrong. You will know that this one is wrong. I don't agree with him. That is the Holy Spirit who will be teaching you all things. Number three that the Holy Spirit will do is that he will bear witness of Jesus Christ. That means he's going to testify about Jesus and he's going to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit is very unique. He does not take glory for himself. In fact, if you don't recognize him, he will not bother. He will just be silent. But the moment you recognize him, he will step into your situation. Assuming you had a friend, and yes, you have money, and you are seeing your friend is suffering, but your friend says he does not need help, you will just watch. You say, can I help you? You say, no, I'm fine. He will leave you. You know, evil spirits force themselves on people, but the Holy Spirit is very gentle. He is a gentle spirit. He waits for you to speak to him, and the Bible says that he will testify and bear witness about me. How was the Holy Spirit testifying about Jesus? Through the signs and miracles. When the miracles were done in the name of Jesus, it was the work of the Holy Spirit bearing witness about Jesus. In fact, John 16 verse 14 says, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare to you. There are things when you read the scriptures, you understand that no one taught you. That is the Holy Spirit teaching you. That is the Holy Spirit taking from Jesus and giving it to you. When you wake up and God tells you, go to this website, apply for this job, the Holy Spirit is taking from Jesus, giving to you, and helping you remember. When you are in an exam and you are trying to remember, is the Holy Spirit reminding you of all things. Number four that the Holy Spirit does is that he convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jesus tells his disciples, John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. That means when you're preaching to people, it is the Holy Spirit that convicts them to believe in Jesus. It is only the Holy Spirit. Your job is to preach. It is the Holy Spirit's work to convict them. And then the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. And then number two, and of righteousness. And of judgment. That means that the Holy Spirit, when you're preaching to someone, they will understand they're in sin. Number two, they will understand that they don't have righteousness, but they are able to receive the righteousness of God if they receive it. And if they refuse the righteousness of God, what remains is judgment. Many times you talk to people and they'll tell you, oh, me, I don't want. Some will even tell you, me, I'm ready. I'm ready. If it is going to hell, me, I'm going to hell. Why? Because the conviction about judgment is given by the Holy Spirit. When you reject Jesus, the Holy Spirit stands to convict you. Number five that the Holy Spirit does is that he gives you the divine empowerment for the ability to be an effective witness. Jesus told the disciples, do not leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Wait for the promise of the Father. He said, behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Acts chapter 1 verse 48 says, he commanded them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you have heard from me. John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit many days from now. And he says, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The reason why we struggle with witness is because we have not waited for the power. We have not waited for the Holy Spirit. If you wait, if you stay in the place of prayer, if you stay in the place of waiting on God, then you shall be receive power. In fact, I was listening to someone who said that if you go for ministry and you have not yet been received the power, you've not yet received the Holy Spirit, you can be signing your death sentence. Because you're going to fight the forces of darkness. You are engaging in warfare. You know, you cannot take territory from a strong man until you buy it first. Think about Moses. When Moses goes to Egypt, God gives him his stick. He uses his stick. His stick swallows the snakes of the other magicians. That tells you, when they were walking out there, the magicians did not have their sticks. They were bound. Their power was taken. So, God is saying, the Holy Spirit is going to empower you to be an effective witness. That is how you can be able to take territory for Jesus. You will only overcome by power. Kingdoms advance by power. He also gives us gifts. You can see on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The wind came from heaven, there was a sound of heaven, and divided tongues of fire appeared and sat on each and every one of them. The Holy Spirit moved and appeared, and they began to speak with other tongues. They started to speak languages they did not know. Look at Acts chapter 4 verse 31. The Bible says, when they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. That means that God gave them boldness to speak the word of God. Look at First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. The Bible says, and there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. And the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues. All this, and another interpretation of tongues, all these are the works of the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will give you gifts. And the Bible says, to each one, everyone, there is no one who will not receive a gift from the Holy Spirit. God has given every person a gift. The question you need to ask yourself, what gift did you give me? And what am I doing with it? What am I doing with the gift of the Holy Spirit? Number six that the Holy Spirit does is that He gives us divine direction. Direction. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible says that there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, and as they ministered and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So the Holy Spirit called Barnabas and Saul to go and do the work that He wanted them to do. The Bible also tells us that when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit not to preach the word of God in Asia. That means that the Holy Spirit knows who is ready. If you don't wait for the Holy Spirit to guide you, you will go to the wrong place. The Holy Spirit is there to give you direction. That's why Romans chapter 8 verse 14 tells us, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you are the son of God. The next point that is very important is that the Holy Spirit regenerates us and makes us to be sons of God. You know, the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, you are not a child of God. The only way you are a child of God is because of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to see Jesus, he asked Jesus. He came to Jesus, and Jesus told him, I assure you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Then Nicodemus asked, how can I be born again? And then Jesus said, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That means if you are born of a man, you are a man. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That means God makes us, our spirits, alive. The Holy Spirit makes your spirit alive, and you are born again. Then you can understand God. Then you can hear God. Then you can pray to God. Without the Holy Spirit, you are not a son of God. You are not saved without the Holy Spirit. It is only the Holy Spirit who comes into your heart and makes you a believer. You are convicted of your sin. You receive Jesus. You receive the faith, and you become a believer. Then also the Holy Spirit tells us, for you do not receive a spirit of fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship or adoption, by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. And verse 16 of Romans 8 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of life. He is the enabler of the righteous life of God. When we think about Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 says that there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The scripture is telling us, if you live after the flesh, you die. But if you live after the Spirit, you experience the life of God. So the Spirit of life is the enabler of righteousness. In fact, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. If you follow after the Holy Spirit, you will not satisfy the desires of the flesh. And the Bible says, for these two are in contrary to one another. That means that the flesh will always be fighting with the Spirit. In fact, when Jesus was telling his disciples to pray, he said, the flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. Your spirit, your inner man, always desires to love God. Why? Because it has the Spirit of God. So the desire of the Spirit of every person who is born again is to love Jesus. But the flesh, the body, the human weakness is pulling away from the Spirit. Now, whatever you satisfy is the one that will win. If you give more attention to your flesh will win in sin. If you give more attention to your spirit will win. Those who sow to the Spirit shall bring life everlasting. The Holy Spirit is also the one that unites us into one body. When the Bible says we are all baptized into one body, that means there is the unity of the Spirit. We are united with Christ by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit also is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. We only know God. We will only understand things of God by the Spirit of God. Look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 says. It says that, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. In fact, in one of the versions says the bottomless things of God. There are things about God that are bottomless. The Spirit of God searches. And the last thing I want to share is that he enables us to worship and speak with God. You know, think about it. When Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman, he says that the hour is coming and has now come when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he says God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So if we are to speak to God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the Holy Spirit, he comes to help us to know God. He comes to empower us. He comes to renew our strength. He comes to walk alongside us. And just what God says is that he really wants to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Everyone can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All he says is ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. And let us take a moment and we stand, and we're going to speak to God, and we're going to ask him to fill us with the Holy Spirit. To fill us. Yes, we receive the Holy Spirit at the point of salvation, but you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yes, you may have been baptized with the Holy Spirit before, but you can be baptized afresh. The believers were filled again and again with the Holy Spirit. And as they were filled, the Bible tells us, they began to speak with other tongues. They received empowerment. They received boldness of the Spirit. They received mysteries. They saw visions. The Holy Spirit is available. He is able to help you. If you need him, just ask him. He is a friend. He is closer than any brother that you ever need. He is a father. Father, I thank you. Just go before God and speak to your Father. Father, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that you are available, that you say anyone, to anyone that is thirsty, to anyone that is hungry, anyone that desires to be filled by the Holy Spirit, if they ask and they receive faith and they believe that you have given, it is a gift, it is a promise, it is available to everyone that is willing, everyone that is thirsty. On the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up in a loud voice and cried out and said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I don't know who is there today that is desiring to be filled by the Holy Spirit. You're saying, Lord Jesus, I am available. I am an empty vessel. Fill me. Fill me afresh. Fill me by your Spirit. He is ready to fill you. Just open up your heart. Open up your hands. Lift up your hands and say, fill me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh. Fill me, I need your Spirit today. Fire, fire, come and rain. Come and rain, Holy Spirit. Come and rain. Holy Spirit, rain. We welcome you to come and rain. Come and rain. Come and rain. Holy Spirit, rain. We welcome you. Just pray. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Ask him to fill you. Ask him to fill you. Ask him to fill you. Riba shamanda baraka de gunta kani kara. Baraka de banda barachi eleva kata nura. Baraka baraki ni dumo rakatara bashinete mere kara. Baraka saranda kuro. Baraka shibere baraka da barabamo. Baraka tidele mere kara 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 boshi rakata ke. Baraka tidele manata. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are one that is alongside us, O God. You say, if anyone that is thirsty, let him come to you and drink, O God. I pray that you fill us afresh this morning. Fill us afresh this afternoon. Release your power. Release your Spirit, O God. Release the anointing. Release your grace. Release the power of the Spirit, O God. Let your Spirit come forth. Let your anointing majesty come forth. Let your grace come forth. Let your glory come forth on us. Let your favor come forth in the name of Jesus. We trust in your promises of us. Your promises are yes and amen of us. Let your spirit come upon us. Let your power come upon us of us. Let the glory of God fall in this place of us. Where we come to Release the power. Release the spirit of God. The spirit. Release the spirit. Have a move of the spirit in this place of God. Father, we release you. Blessed Redeemer. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory. We worship your holy name. We thank you, O God Jesus. Thank you that you are here, O God. Your name be praised. Your name be worshiped. Your name be glorified. Your name be exalted, O God. Redeemer, your Savior, your Father, your King. And there is no one else like you, God. May your name be worshiped. May your name be glorified.